My job for that internship, I was the minister of announcements, meaning that every Sunday I would get up in front of the church and I would give announcements, and I did it all summer. Well, shortly after I left that summer, they had a little problem in their church that it came down to a theological issue that many of the people of that church decided to leave. Well, God so orchestrated that during that time that basically God laid on their heart to start another church. Well, I was away at college, and then that winter came, and they approached me, the new church, approached me and said, Brent, would you like to come do an internship here over the winter? So I did. Well, they gave me the job of minister of announcements again, and I'm standing, it's just a gift that you have. Some people can just announce things really well, and actually my wife is far greater at it than I am. She can get a room's attention without a microphone. She's been blessed with vocals that are just unending, and I think my daughter's... I'm going to get, see, words, they can get you in trouble. It gets you in trouble really, really quick. Yeah, we'll have to start over. But anyways, as I digress, that was definitely not planned, but a good illustration nonetheless. As I get up to give these announcements at this new church, and like in the Brevard's a small town, much like Casher, there's a lot of discrepancies and different opinions about the church. Well, I get up, and I give announcements, and I say, welcome to, but I said the name of the first church. And it was like, as I did that, you could see the words just go out just like it did right here. And I wanted to just grab them back, but they were already out. And we laughed, and probably some people just cried a little bit and felt so sorry for me. But words really matter, don't they? And I'm sure, like in your relationships, there have been times, much like my story that I just told you, that you have said something and it didn't have the intended or maybe the intention on your heart, the effect that you thought it would. But words can damage to that end. And last week we started the series called Upside Down Perspective. That Jesus made this statement, and we looked at this parable last week, that he basically said this, and this is out of Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, and that's going to come up. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And it's very unordinary how that scripture kind of plays out, that that's not the normal way that we think about life, is it? Because most of us, as we talked about last week, we kind of push towards the front of the line, don't we? Just in life, in general, we would rather be first than we would be last. But Jesus kind of turns it upside down and says, hey, you should have this attitude, this mindset that you're okay being last because that means you're first in the kingdom of God. Jesus would go on to say that if you've done it unto the least of me, at least of these, you've done it unto me. So it's just an upside down way of thinking that the last are first in the kingdom of God, the first are last. But how can we have that type of perspective as we go through everyday life? Because it's difficult, isn't it? Because there's this constant urge in our hearts and our souls that we just want to be first. Am I right? It just comes natural, and it's almost as if we would have to do the exact opposite of what we normally think to live this verse out. That the last would be first and the first would be last. We have to do the opposite. So what I would like for us to do this morning is let's look for a few weeks, and we're going to expand this series just a little bit, and we're going to look at our relationships and how could we live this mentality, this first is last mentality, last is first in our relationships. Because we know that our relationships, we want them to honor God. And we have many different types of relationships, relationships with our spouses, relationships with coworkers, relationships with boyfriend, girlfriend, relationships with friends, and many of them at times, I'm sure, can have some friction and have some drama, as my kids would say, there's some things that are a little bit complicated. And often, I think the common denominator always comes back to, most of the time, our words. Not just what we say, but how we say it, as I've learned as a husband. Sometimes it's not what I say. It's how I said it, the tone and the I guess my attitude and how I said it. And I'm like, I didn't mean it that mean. And Amanda's like, just hurt. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And men, that's just a good thing that you can say. If you can just get in the habit of going, I'm sorry. It's just a good thing. It's hard for us sometimes. But words have great power. But as you look at the unbelieving world, how they view Christianity, Bob Goff says this, as I was reading in his book, I just keep rereading his book, Love Does, but he said this in that book. He says, why is it that so many Christians make such lousy human beings? And that's him talking with someone that is not a believer. That's hard. And I think a lot of it comes back to what we say, that we're judgmental, we're defensive, we're touchy. It's just about little things. And then it goes. He goes on to say this later, that words spoken by kind people have the ability to endure in our lives. I just want you to think back to someone that has spoken life into your life just by a kind word and encouragement. And some of you have that natural gift that you can come up to somebody and you can just encourage them. And it's just like they have taken a nice shower in that encouragement, and it just blesses their heart and their soul. And then some of us can tend to be a little bit more towards the critical side, and we don't have that gift of encouragement with our words, and it's a little more difficult for us to encourage others. And it's this battle that we feel. But how can we, as a group of believers, as a group of people trying to follow Jesus to the best that we can, how can we have our words be last? And in our relationships, learn this quality of the last or first, the first or last. Because it's difficult to contain our words. Because sometimes we get so focused on, I've got to be right in this situation. And then we get defensive, and then we have to prove, well, I am right. But what's at stake many times? The relationship often comes to stake that we may win the argument, but lose the person. And there's ways that we can go about that, because we know that there's many broken relationships, and they all can come back to sometimes what we've said. And Bryant, if you can go to Ephesians, we're going to look at this passage in Ephesians. And what I love about this scripture is, I think we could talk about this and then we could just conclude today. But here's my prayer as we go through this passage in Ephesians, that the Apostle Paul is going to be talking to us about our words. Let's use this passage to prepare our hearts for communion. Now, you know my heart as a pastor is, I never want us just to attach communion onto the end of something. Because to me, that we miss the point of why Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of me. So what I want this passage to do, my heart for this passage and sharing you with you and being able to talk about it this morning, is let's allow this, God, just to soak into our hearts and our souls and expose anything in us that we need to repent of, meaning that we need to change in our words, in our relationships, realizing that words have a dramatic effect on our relationships. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. When you look at this passage, the unwholesome talk really means rotten. So you can imagine, like if you've cleaned out a refrigerator and stuff kind of gets shuffled around in the back of the refrigerator and you find something that's rotten, what happens? You notice really quick with your nose before you actually see it, it's rotten. But that's what Paul is saying here. Don't let any rotten talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Is it easier to build others up or tear them down? Really easier to tear them down, correct? Because you can do it so quick. Our words cut so fast that it just comes natural, because we want to be first, that we can just go boom and we tear them down. But what Paul was saying, but only what is helpful for building others up. And this is what's fascinating about this passage to me. According to their needs. It didn't say according to your needs and how you feel. It said according to their needs. And this made me pause this week as I was preparing for this, of how often when we use our words, we're thinking about our own needs, are we not? If I've got to make this point, I've got to make sure that they understand, we've got to kind of work around it. But often when we're having conversations, we're not thinking about benefiting the other person, we're thinking about benefiting ourselves. And if we're going to flip this and do the opposite of what we should do and say, God, I want to be last in my conversations and make sure that I honor you in everything I say and do, I've got to get to the place that I'm thinking about others' needs before my own with how I use my words, because that it may benefit those who listen. Do we really believe that what we say is so important that it can actually be used to build other people up? That it can actually be an encouragement and make them want to follow after Jesus more by just having a conversation with somebody. See, I've had a few people in my life that if you just spend a little bit of time with them, it's almost like they have this glow, this It just radiates from them that they love Jesus, they love the Lord, and you just want to spend any moment that you can around them because it rubs off, because they drip encouragement. And see, that's the type of people that we have to be if we're not going to let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I think we have to ask this question as we think about this passage. Do our words, are they harmful or are they helpful? And that's a hard thing to ask just in our relationships. And you can think back over the words that you've said and the damage that they've done. Because it's almost, I'm sure the California wildfires, as Kurt and I were talking this morning, how did they start? One little fire. And it just, boom, out of control. Our words are no different, as we're going to see in James. As we've heard this morning in James, that they spread like wildfire. So how do we bring those under the control of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to have control of our body and our words? Because they do matter that much. Let's look at James chapter 3. We all stumble in many ways. Let's just say that all out loud together. That'll help us. We all stumble in many ways, right? That's a good thing, because we can have humility and go, you know what? None of us are perfect in here. Thankfully, God is perfect, but we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. And none of us are that, right? We've all messed up. We've all done that. Able to keep the whole body in check. And what's interesting about this passage is it says that because of our tongue, which is a muscle, that it affects our whole body. We're not able to keep our whole body in check. Then go to the next verse, please. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. How many of y'all have ever had a horse that didn't want to obey? And you just jerked and you jerked and you jerked, and you're just like, what is wrong with this horse? I feel like that's us often. When God wants us to control what we say, and He's pulling and tugging and tugging, and we're just like, you know, I'm stubborn. I'm a stubborn horse. I'm not going to learn. We put the bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. And then verse 4. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Isn't that so amazing that you have these massive ships and then they have this very tiny rudder that just directs everywhere they go? What directs our tongues? Our heart, our soul. What comes out of here is a state of our heart, what's in there. So if there's a problem with our tongue, where's the problem at? It's in our heart. It's in our soul. And that means that we have to have a heart change and allow God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, by the power of His Word, to change what's in our hearts and in our souls. Verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark, as we've seen in California. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell, which that's disturbing. Verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are also being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. No human being. So what does that tell you? That we are in need of supernatural help. This is a God-sized problem that can only be solved by Him. And us admitting that our words have the power to destroy relationships, we have to have this pause in our heart and soul and say, God, I need You. I need You to help me with my words. I need You to help me control this. And then verse 9. With the tongue, we can praise our Lord, our Father, and with it, we can curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And doesn't that intimidate you a little bit to read that passage? Then in one moment, we can praise the Lord, like we just did just before. We sang songs of God, Your love is reckless. It's never ending. But how often have you caught yourself on a Sunday afternoon saying something that you shouldn't say? All the time, right? There's an inconsistency in our lives, often, between what we say and what we want to do. Well, how does that begin to change? I think one thing is acknowledging that we have a problem. To say, God, my words are a problem. It could be, honestly, one of the greatest struggles in our lives. That there is great power in what we say. And it has the potential to destroy relationships if we're not careful. If our tongues are not brought under control. Because it's a deadly poison, is what James says. And I think we have to begin to do a little bit of self-reflection. Of how many relationships, how many people have you just blown up with your words? That you look back on your history, maybe even your current circumstances, and you're like, that's a fractured relationship because of what I said and how I said it. And our words shape those who are around us. They shape us to the core. And Bryant, if you'll go to the next slide for me. Bob Goff says this, and I thought this was really strong. He says, only Jesus has the power to change people. And that's just a strong statement. And it will be harder for them to see Jesus if their view of him is blocked by our big opinions. I thought that was really, really good this week. That our words have so much power that sometimes we have to back off our opinion and go, what's the most important thing for them to see? And it's a really simple answer. The most important thing for them to see is what? Jesus, God. That they, through our interaction, through our time together with them, that they would see the Lord. Not that they would see Brent, because if they see Brent, that's going to be very, very short of seeing Jesus. But that they would see Jesus. How many of you have a cell phone? Everybody in here has got a cell phone. How many of you text on your cell phones? Most of us. How many of you cannot stand when it auto-corrects and puts something in the place of what you've typed? Can be incredibly frustrating, and always make sure you check it before you hit send, because once it's sent, whew, it's out there, and you know, I didn't say that. But what we need in our lives, I believe, with our tongue, is we need autocorrect. It would do so much good if we could create that app or whatever just to kind of change what we say, because it gets us in trouble. And what we don't realize is we have that in the Holy Spirit. He is present. He is living and active in our lives. And if we can just say, God, I want to surrender control. The old hymn is, I surrender all, right? Not most, not some. Do you think that means our tongue too? It does, doesn't it? To say, God, I want to make sure that what I say glorifies and honors you, that you get the attention, not myself, because the first will be last and the last will be first. Because it's not about us getting attention. It's about him getting all the glory, all the attention. And our words matter in that. And Brian, if you can skip ahead a little bit, we're going to go to the end where it talks about, there's a slide there, Brian, that talks about two things that we need to do. They're in bold. You'll see them. And he's going to get that up on the screen for us. I'm sorry, Brian, I'm skipping around just a touch. But there's two steps that I want us to take that I believe will help us evaluate our relationships a little bit more. And what we need to do is to be willing to ask ourselves some hard questions, to look at ourselves and to be able to say, God, you evaluate my heart, and just let's get very practical in our communication and be willing to look and see, evaluate our relationships. And these are two things. Communication. Which communication, sometimes we have communication problems. We have them in our house. It's just a pretty constant thing that Amanda will say one thing and I go, oh yeah, I understand that. And then we actually do it out and I'm like, oh, I had no clue what she was talking about, and vice versa. But communication, ability to honestly and openly communicate in a gracious manner, the ability to talk about your feelings. Now, as men, do we love to talk about our feelings? They're in some like dark, deep recess down here, like way down deep. We don't like to talk about them. But is it important for us to talk about them, men? I hear one man, and I see a lot of ladies going, yes, it is. But communication, do you think most relationship problems come back to communication problems? All of them, right? Almost all of them. Because you have a male point of view and a female point of view. But what if we could just bring those back and say, God, Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is greater power than we can ever imagine, the power of the resurrection is present in our lives. Lord, you've got control. So how to improve? For some of us, especially men who don't like to communicate, what if we wrote out our feelings first and tried to think graciously of how can I communicate what I'm feeling What's going on in my heart and my mind? What if I wrote it out before I said it? It's like we would have autocorrect almost. Because we're very careful what we send over text or email. But what if we were that careful with how we communicated our words? Some of us, if you have constant drama, constant communication problems, maybe this is the best step that you could take. But before I say it, I'm going to pause. And you may not have to write it out, but just pause and say, God, I want you to filter what I say. I want it to be about you, not about me. Because the Ephesians passage, over and over again, our words are meant to build others up to what they need, not what we need. Let's go to the next one, Brian. Affection. Now, we show affection in many different ways in today's world, do we not? Some people are like, don't touch me. And then others like are just huggers, they're lovers. And that's a really good thing. But affection is the ability to openly express verbal and physical affection. And affection is really important because we need to know that we're loved. And it's very vital that we understand who are we loved by ultimately and finally? By God. For God so loved the world. So if you are here today and you don't feel loved, I want you to hear very loudly that you are loved by God. Not by what you do, but by who you were created to be. And that should just wash over your heart and your soul, because this is a very unloving world sometimes. And it can like really chew you up and spit you out. But you are loved by God. And what I love about this church is they love really well. Affection is just a core value that they show their love really, really well. So if you're here this morning and you feel a lack of that, you're in the right spot. Romans 12:10, love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another, each other. Isn't that such a good passage? That you love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another. Not in you getting the honor, not in you getting the attention, but in honoring one another. Now, Brian, you can go to that next slide. How to improve in this area. I think surround yourself with people that love well and big. Choose to live in community. When we live in isolation, when we remove ourselves from community, we're not going to feel the affection, the love of God. And we're going to be void of the love of people in our lives because we need others to spur us on. We need other people to hold us accountable and to help us use our words in a way that are going to honor and exemplify Christ. So I just got a few more questions and then we're going to be done. Who have you dishonored? Who needs an apology today with your words? And that's like, ugh, Brent, I got to go apologize. If we're going to take God's word serious, that our words matter, that they're like a poison, that they're like a fire, is there anyone that you just need to say, man, I'm sorry. I know I have to be in the habit of apologizing. And it's not because I'm a terrible person, but I know those that we love the most are the ones that we typically hurt the most sometimes. And if I'm going to be short, it's not with you. But if I'm going to be short, it's going to be with Amanda or the girls. And my dad taught me this, of be quick to apologize. If you say something in a way, maybe that you didn't even intend to say it, be quick to say, I'm sorry. Because here's what I want my girls to see. Because they're growing up like weeds and I watch them grow every day. I want them to see a dad that can say, I was wrong. That I messed up. Would you forgive me? I want to get better because I want to be more like Jesus tomorrow than I am today. And being able to say I didn't use my words in a way that I should have is a big deal because it shows heart. So is there anybody else in your life that you would say, Brent, I need to apologize? Go apologize. Be bold in that and say that I'm sorry. I promise you'll feel better. You really will. And you're like, Brent, you don't understand. But if we can just get in the habit, create the culture of saying, I'm sorry, it's really a big thing. Who, and this is my last question, and then we're going to take communion. Who in your life right now could you just be an encourager? Could you build up? Because there's somebody there. You may not see it. You may miss it from time to time. But who in your life could you just speak words of encouragement? Just to speak life into them. Not tear them down, but just speak life into them. So who could you apologize to? And maybe there's nobody, but I promise there will be somebody that you have to in your future. That just happens. And then who could you love on and encourage? Selfless love has the power to transform even the darkest places. Is our world not a dark place? It really is. It breaks my heart to see it. But if we live selfless lives, that the last will be first, the first will be last. You know what happens? God can transform dark places because it's selfless love. So how does that begin to change? I believe that the first will be last and the last will be first. How we begin to live that out in relationships is we really have a filter on what we say, that it's all driven under the control of the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do is I'm going to lead us into a time of communion. Bryant is going to come forward in just a moment, and he's going to help me lead, one of our elders. And communion is something that we practice, open communion here at Christ Church of the Valley. This is what that means, that if you are a believer, a follower of Jesus, this time is for you. That Jesus was very, very clear that he said, do this in remembrance of me, meaning this, that remember that I was crucified. Remember that I was buried, but then I was resurrected. I rose on the third day. Never forget that perfect sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. Never forget it. Never let that become something that's ordinary. So we move into this time of saying, God, we want to approach you. And approaching a holy God is humbling. But that holy God receives us with great love. So we practice open communion. What I mean by that is anybody that's a believer here today, practice, participate. And what we do is we do communion just a touch different, that we'll have the elements, the juice and the bread up here, and we'll just form a line from table over here, like go tables first all the way around the room, and then in the center. And you'll just form a line. You'll come take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice. And if you'll get it, like if you're like, Brent, I don't want to like dip and do that. I've got some that are set aside up here. If you'll just give me a pause, give me a wink, I'll make sure that you get that. But let's approach this with great reverence of saying, God, expose anything that's broken in my heart and my soul today. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word, that it just reveals our true intentions, our true heart, our true soul. And Lord, I pray that as we practice communion, that we would just pause for a moment. Lord, that we would be willing to ask you, God, is there any sin that's in my life? And just ask that question, is there any sin in my life right now? Reveal it to me. And Lord, if you bring anything to our minds, Lord, that we would openly confess that. So freely confess that, God. Thank you for your perfect love for us, Jesus. For your perfect sacrifice, Lord. Because there was no way for salvation, for hope for us, God. But Lord, you made a way through your death on a cross. And Lord, I pray this morning that we would honor you in taking communion and remembering that amazing gift. Lord, help us never forget it. And Lord, help us approach this with much reverence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would stand, please. With communion, it's such a beautiful picture of God's love for us. Thank you for being here today and just celebrating what Jesus did for us. And please receive the benediction. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray that you send us from this place today with words that are controlled and filtered by your Holy Spirit, God. That we value people over what we have to say, God, that we always give great respect and great honor to you with what comes out of our mouths, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would always be controlled by you and by the Holy Spirit in everything we say and everything we do. Give us a heart for people, Lord, that we see people the way that you see them. And Lord, that we would truly put into practice that the last will be first and the first will be last. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great Sunday.